Sunday. Sunday, where we take a moment to pause, reflect about what Christ has done for us and what he continues to do for us. In a moment, we're going to take a look at a really grand entrance by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before we get to that, I'd like to ask you, the last celebration that you were a part of, think about the emotion. Think about the experience. Think about the hype. Think about who was there, but maybe who wasn't there. Think about the activities that were taking place. Think about the part that you played in that celebration, or maybe the part that you didn't play. Think about the active roles. Think about the passive roles. Think about the presence. Do you have that celebration in mind? Maybe you think about a parade. Maybe you think about a concert. Or maybe it's a family celebration that comes to mind for you, like a birthday party, an anniversary celebration, some other special event that's worth putting on the calendar. Do you have it in mind? So here's my next question to you. What happens after the party's over? What happens when the celebration has come to a close? What happens when the things are packed up and put away and people go back to their respective homes, locations, places of work? What happens the day after? In the Gospels, we catch a great glimpse of this triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like to take a moment to look at this with you, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, because John paints us a beautiful picture of a really exciting and festive event that carries all the bells and whistles of a parade. But here's the question I'm going to ask you before we take a look at the parade and the celebration. What happens the next day? Let's take a look at John chapter 12. If you want to follow along on the screens up front, John records this. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." It's quite the fanfare. Jesus draws a crowd, and we've seen this in other places in Scripture. Jesus knows how to draw a crowd. But here's the question. When the celebration and the festivities and the activities are all done and over with, what's the next day look like? You ever wondered? Or how about this? What happens after Palm Sunday's over? You got the palms, you got the excitement, you got the kids racing in front of Jesus, you got the palms on the ground in front of Jesus, people shouting, "Hosanna," which means save us now. You got a little bit of political play. You got a little bit of religious leader influence. You got a group of people that maybe know what's going on, but you also have a lot of people who are just maybe passing through and wondering, what is this? But my question to you once again today is, what happens the day after Palm Sunday? What do people go back home to? What do their lives look like? Has this procession, this triumphant entry, has it had any impact on their lives or not? What does the next day look like? My question to you once again is just this. What typically happens for you the day after a life celebration? Do you continue with your celebration? Do you put a comma in the conversation, so to speak? We just kind of keep going. A progressive celebration. Those are fun. Or do you close the book, put the book away, put it in the room, close the door, and go on, only to revisit it 1 year later? See, sometimes celebrations in life, they carry that nuance, don't they? One and done. We're here, it's great, it's exciting, I'm a part of it, you're a part of it, you're a part of it, we're in it together, but then it's done with, and then we move on to the next day. Celebration over. My question to you once again is, what happens when Palm Sunday is over? Let me show you what it was like for the people in Jesus' day. And I want to ask you the question. What's it like for God's people today? What will the day after Palm Sunday look like for you? This is what we we see going on with Jesus. Gospel of John chapter 12, verses 17 to 19. Now the crowd that was with Jesus when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after Jesus." Jesus draws a crowd, doesn't he? People want to be a part of the celebrations that have Jesus as the highlight act, the entertainment of the night. Jesus is the karaoke singer down at Crazy Pins Bowling. Let's go check out Jesus. But then as soon as the show's over, people go home. What happens the next day? John shares this with us, verse 37. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Jesus does a lot of parlor tricks, at least what the word on the street is. But once again, after it's all said and done, people go home. What's the next day look like? Has it had any impact on their lives? Have their behaviors changed at all? Have their thoughts changed? Have their conversations changed? Have their relationships at work or at school or in the house, have they changed? What's the next day look like? John shares a little bit more with us, verse 42 and 43. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Jesus. Now check this out. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise from God. We might call this people-pleasing. You can hear it, can't you? People are starting to be drawn to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, but they're afraid to be differentiated from the group. Why? Because they don't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. And what happens at the synagogue? Well, what's supposed to happen at the synagogue, what's supposed to happen at worship is just that, worship of God. But if you look at the Gospels, here's what's going on. People are lining their pockets at the synagogues, making money. Maybe you know the situation where Jesus comes in and he is furious about what's going on. Why? Because they've turned it into a marketplace. And so he turns over the tables and he says, "You guys have made this place a den of robbers. It's supposed to be a house of prayer." So heaven forbid we get kicked out of the synagogue and lose part of our income stream. So they're afraid to step forward and follow Jesus. And if you missed all of that, take another look at the last line in the passage up front. Why are they afraid to follow Jesus? Because they love the praise of people more than the praise of God. Does this happen in our church? We're known as Praise Lutheran, right? I ask you, which praise do we cherish more? Praise of the people sitting around you, or the praise of God that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, well done." After all the palms and the branches and the hallelujahs and the excitement and the emotional buzz, after it's all said and done, what does the next day look like for you, people of God? Jesus shows up on the scene for the people in Scripture time and time again, with healings and feedings and teachings and shows of love and grace that just blow people out of the water. It changes the landscape of life and ministry forever. And yet what we've seen in the Scripture today together is just this. The next day, people go back to the same old, same old. And what it tells me, and I hope it tells you, is that Jesus had no impact on their lives, not because Jesus stopped trying, but because the people said, "No thanks, Jesus." How often do we say the same thing? I know the places in my own life where I have given Jesus Christ a spiritual stiff arm. What about you? See, it is easy to be here today and to give God our worship and praise. This is a comfortable place. Other places in the world, it is not a comfortable place to be in worship. In fact, it carries a nuance of possibly a mob outside or death or fire to your house or much, much worse. But it's a comfortable place, and we come here, and we have the branches, and we sing our alleluias, but tomorrow, what's it going to look like for you? God cares about your time here today, don't get me wrong, but he also is the God of your tomorrow. What's your tomorrow going to look like? Do you want the praise of people, or do you want the praise of God that says, well done, good and faithful servant, well done? What happens after Palm Sunday? You and I know, don't we? We take the palms home. We maybe stick them on the wall behind the cross like we used to do growing up. But then the cross comes down, the palm goes in the trash, we're on to the next thing, right? 1 year later, here we are again. The palm's out, stuck on the wall, cross comes down. Jesus is put aside. What happens for you tomorrow? See, we see this sprinkled all over the gospel accounts, and we've heard some of this today. Anger because Jesus doesn't play by your rules and my rules. Frustration because they thought Jesus was a political leader who would overthrow the Romans, but he's not that kind of Messiah. And so if he's not that kind of Messiah, then we don't want him in our lives, or at least is what they said. There was hope that Jesus would fit their model, would fit their mold, but he doesn't and he won't. He can't. I wonder what you would throw up on the screens as well in terms of what happens the day after the celebration, after the parade, after the palm branches are put down, after people go back home and go back to school, go back to work. What does the next day look like? What does tomorrow look like? Take a look at what it looks like for Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24, we hear this. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." What does tomorrow look like for Jesus? It looks like offering up his life for people who would betray him, turn their back on him, and tell him, take a hike. It looks like Jesus giving the best gift of all. It also looks like this. John 12, 26. Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." What does tomorrow look like? It looks like a call to follow for you and for me. Not just on Sundays, but tomorrow as well. What's your tomorrow going to look like? It also looks like this, verse 31 and 33. Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. What does tomorrow look like for Jesus and for you and for me? It looks like victory at the cross. Despite all the hoopla and all the palm branches thrown out and packed back up and all the people who showed up only to leave out any change in their life, it looks like a commitment for you and for me. And it looks like this. Tomorrow for Jesus looked like a crown of thorns. From those who said, "Hosanna." Tomorrow for Jesus looked like this. For you and for me, pierced hands, real blood, real sweat, real tears, real commitment. Tomorrow looked like this for Jesus. It looked like a very lonely place where Jesus the Christ endured something you and I never will, eternal separation. For that moment when he cries out with the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Tomorrow for Jesus looks like a very dark and ugly situation that you and I will never, ever have to endure. Thanks be to God. And because Jesus entered that tomorrow for you and for me, you and I have a much, much better outlook for tomorrow, where God gives you and me the opportunity to follow in faith once again, to take what we're doing here today, but to bring it out with us where we go tomorrow. What will your tomorrow look like? Or the other question is this, what will happen for you after Palm Sunday's over? After the palms are packed up and the lights are turned off and the doors are locked and you go back home, what will tomorrow look like for you? said this in John chapter 12. He said, I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Don't go back home to same old, same old. Break the cycle of rinse, wash, repeat. Live as if Jesus Christ is Lord, not just of your Sunday from 10:30 to 11:30, but as if he's the Lord of your life. My question to you once again is this: what is your tomorrow going to look like as a follower of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we ask that through the work of your Holy Spirit and your word today, that our tomorrow would be much different than what we originally planned. We pray that tomorrow you would be the Lord of our life. We pray that tomorrow would also be a day of worship, and the next day, and the next day. We pray, Father, that we would not join our voice with the chorus of voices that welcome Jesus one day only to walk away the next. We pray, Father, that we would be among those who have gone before us in faith, who have said with their lives, their words, their thoughts, and their actions, Jesus Christ is Lord of life. Today we seek the praise, and we pray for the encouragement from you, not from those around us. So Father, we pray that you would lead us. We pray that you would make the path forward abundantly clear. And when we come into situations that don't make sense, confuse us, roll us, shake us, rattle us, remind us that where the servant of Christ is, there is Christ. Grant this to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This time in our service, I invite you to stand as we continue with our confession of Christian faith.